So today is Vision Sunday for us, and at the beginning of every year, we get together and talk about what God is doing for the year and where He's taking us. So before we get into the message today, I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts to hear what He has for us today. So let's pray. Father, I just thank You for Your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, I thank You that You are opening our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear what You have right now. Lord, I pray that we receive this vision that You've given us. Lord, I pray that You help us to take it in all the way to a heart level, Father, so that we can prepare our hearts to change this year, to go where You want us to go, to do what You want us to do. Lord, we just thank You and praise You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You're working in our hearts right now. Lord, I pray that You help us to hear things in the right heart today, that You prepare our hearts to take it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, when the new year rolls around, many of us think about how we can get better and how we can change our lives and what we can do. And so one of the most common questions people ask God as they continue to develop in Him is, God, what do You want me to do? And this seems to be the most difficult question because then people start looking around. And I got to say, I did the same thing. I began to think, God, what do You want me to do? Maybe You want me to do this. Maybe You want me to do this. And so I began looking at what I can do for Him. And I know some people look at things like homeless ministry, and some people think about how we can give to the poor, how we can maybe preach or serve in the church or help with the men and women. But let me challenge you to think just a little bit differently today. Ask God instead, who do You want me to be? That's really the question. So many people are focused on production. There's so many times focused on what we can do, and God is more concerned about who you are than what you can produce for Him. Because you can't produce anything for Him unless you have God's character in you actually doing that. And the thing is, we need to be one with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in touch with Him and in step with Him so that what we do produce is actually eternal. Because if we're producing things in and of ourselves, but we don't have the character behind it, that ministry will eventually fall to the side and end. And so we want to have our hearts right. God cares more about who you are than He does about what you can produce. So our focus in life needs to shift from what we can do to who we can be. So who do you really want to be? I guess that's the question. You know, I'm not asking about what you want out of life, but rather, who do you want to be at the end of this life? Because at the end of this life, the one thing you're going to look back on and wonder what you really accomplished is, was I really the person that I needed to be to my children and my spouse and to the people around me? Who was I really? And I think those are the hardest things for people to come to grips with when they get to the end of their life. It's not about what they produced. It's not how much paper they put out of the mill. It's not about how many students they taught when they were teachers. It's not about any of those things. It comes down to who did I really become in this life? And so character is kind of a critical point to our development and to have a life that's really fulfilled. And when we think about who we really want to become and who we really want to be in this life, I know that the right answer is more like Christ every day. That's where we are. But the question is, what needs to change in your heart to make you more like Him? And sometimes we don't really want to look at who we are. Sometimes we don't really want to look at what's going on in our hearts because it's maybe a little bit disturbing to us. And I can tell you there were moments in my life where I looked at what was really happening in my heart versus who I said I wanted to be, and there was this huge disparity in that. And it created a lot of issues for me. It created some internal turmoil that actually got me on my knees and changed my life. I want to imagine for a moment if we would actually live our life purposefully, and you think about one thing you could change in your life, if we did that every year, what would our lives be like today? You know, so often we don't take time to look at our lives and say, I wonder what I can change this year, even if it was just one thing. Because at 46 years old, you know, if I had started when I was really young, can you imagine how different I would be today if I actually lived purposefully? But it's not generally the way we do things. We don't usually think, Lord, if I could change one thing about me that I don't like and it is ungodly and it's not like You, what would it be? And actually make that the focal point of the year. We would be so different if we would live year after year, just dealing with one thing a year. Our spiritual development hinges on a few things, though, and we need to talk about that today. The first thing it hinges on is our willingness to actually get better. You know, some of us are just kind of the way we are, and we tell people, you know, when they don't like the way we are or we're ungodly, well, that's just the way God made me, and if you don't like it, take a walk, right? I mean, isn't that the kind of stuff we say at times? And it's like when we're ungodly and there's something about our life that needs to change, explaining it away, is that the way God made me, isn't right, because God doesn't make you broken. The second thing we need as far as our spiritual development goes is we need an honesty about our weaknesses and our areas of opportunity. There's got to be some honesty about who we really are. And I think a lot of times people just kind of walk around in denial. They don't want to deal with who they really are, and so they try to make excuses for it and try to explain it away. But at some point, we have to get honest about who we are and say, this is something about me that I don't like, and And you know what's funny, too, is we think that nobody knows what our issues are. We think nobody knows what our areas of opportunity are. And I can tell you, most people know what's going on in us if we've opened our lives to them. So we're not really hiding anything. We're certainly not hiding from God, but we're not even hiding from people. At some point, we just need to be honest about it and say, you know what, here's my issue. We also, as far as our spiritual development goes, we need to be open to God's power to change our lives. Does anybody know God has the power to change your life today? Yes. And every day, right? Yeah, you can clap about that. That's good. And then there's got to be this obedience in us that's actually willing to walk out His character. You know, the very things that God speaks into your life. The very things that God says, this is what needs to change in you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit does that. Not just a pastor or not just someone in your life. The Holy Spirit will prompt you and say, there's something in your life that you need to take a look at. And I don't know if you've ever gone through that before, but I've gone through a whole lot of that. Things in my life where God said, that is not what I have for you. I have something better for you. So we've got to have the obedience too. But you know, many of us year after year remain in the same spiritual state. We have the same issues. We have the same character issues. And we have the same spirituality. And, you know, for a lot of different reasons. I mean, for some people, they feel as though maybe they're just kind of complacent. They're spiritually complacent about things. And they think, well, it's okay. I'm not that bad, you know. I mean, I'm saved and God's going to take me and I'm going to heaven. So everything's taken care of. And I can tell you, God doesn't want to just leave you all right. You know, for some people, we think that just all right is all right. And it's good. And we become complacent to things. But God doesn't want to leave you there. I mean, in Virginia, it's called all right, right? Did I say that right? I want to make sure I got that right. So it's God doesn't want to leave you all right. You know what I mean? He wants to take you to a place where you are beginning to develop and grow in Him and become better every day. He doesn't want to leave you there. There are sometimes people have this superiority complex and feel like somehow they've arrived and that they're exactly what they need to be. And that's a dangerous place too, because if you think somehow you've gotten to the point where you've arrived spiritually and you have all that you need, then you become unteachable and you get into a place where complacency will set in and stagnation will set in, and we've got to be really careful about that. There is not a person on this earth, there's not one person in this sanctuary today who has it figured out. I want you to know that. There's no one here today who has a reason to have a superiority complex spiritually. Right? There are also people who have kind of the ostrich syndrome, where they just kind of stick their heads in the sand and act like this is not happening, you know. And don't do that. You're wasting your time, okay? If you come to church with the ostrich syndrome and you actually have your head in the sand and you don't really want to hear what's going on, but you just want to do church, you're probably in the wrong place, because here's the thing. You're going to hear some things that challenge you, and eventually you're going to have to either deal with them or probably walk out. And this is exactly where Christ wants us to be. I mean, what a cool place that you have to actually come face to face with the Word of God and decide to change or decide to cut it out completely because you can't take it anymore. That is awesome, right? And for some of you, you think, are you telling me to leave? I'm not telling you to leave. I'm telling you, hang in there, okay? Because it's going to get really good, all right? There are some people who are just in denial and really believe that everything that they do is okay and it's all right. And I want you to know that we're never just all right. We're always at a place where God wants to do more. And in the end, there are a lot of people who just don't deal with these character issues and these issues of life because they're just spiritually immature. And there is a level of spiritual immaturity in everyone here today. You know that? In some area, there's some place that we can mature more. But spiritual immaturity is really the issue because it captures all the stuff I just talked about. So we're all spiritually immature on some level, but it's when we think that we're mature that we flatline spiritually. And so we always want to be in a place where we feel like we can grow and we can continue to be teachable and move forward. You know, after, in Matthew 26, if you want to turn your Bibles right now to that, 26 verse 31, this picture is a picture where Jesus has had the Last Supper with the disciples. And so Jesus is having a conversation of what's going to be happening after this is all done and kind of what's happening in the days to come. And I don't know if the disciples are fully taking it in because it's a lot to understand and he's not being super direct about it. But he has this conversation with Peter. And as he has this conversation with Peter, it actually stirs up this whole immaturity in Peter. And we begin to see even like what's going on in his life. And we begin to see maybe a little bit of immaturity in us too. So here's what it says in Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if everybody else is a loser, I'm not going to be, right? Even if everybody else walks out, I'm staying. I'd never do that, right? Do you see the arrogance? Do you see, like, the superiority in that? Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. I want you to note the words of Peter. He says, I never will, and I will never disown you. I will never, and I can tell you, when you say, I will never, you will. That's exactly how it works, because that's an inner vow. It's like we're making this statement that I will never do this, and when you say I will never, it means in your own strength you will never do something, and if you think in your own strength you will never do something, you certainly will. It's just the way it works. So we see something welling up inside of him, the superiority. And you know what he's actually saying? He's saying, in this area of my life, I've arrived. I've got it all figured out. I would never do that because I am spiritually mature, right? And I want you to note the response of the other disciples because this is kind of interesting. They're listening to the arrogance of Peter. And as they hear that, they say, you know what? We're just like him. We're arrogant just like him, right? We'll never do that either. Do you see the groupthink that's happening in that? That's really kind of scary, isn't it? You know, that kind of exists in churches today, too. If the leadership of the church somehow presents themselves as their superior and have everything figured out, and if you could just be like me, everything would be great. When you have that, people begin to fall in line, and the pastor would stand up and say to you, oh, I just have it all figured out, and just follow my lead, and everything's going to be okay. And the people go, you know what, I'm just like you. And it creates this environment within a church setting where you have the superiority complex of the leadership, and the superiority falls over the people as well, and nobody's teachable, and the thing stagnates and dies, and we see it all the time. It's this situation where somehow the superiority complex just flows over and everybody begins to kind of act the same. And this arrogance and immaturity that Peter shows actually breeds arrogance and immaturity. Isn't that weird? You know, here he is, one of the leaders of the disciples, and he's acting like he's got it all together, and so does everybody else. This is why it's important that we keep it real with each other, you know? That's why it's important that I share my heart with you and I share what's going on in my life with you and you share it with me too. It's important that we have this relationship because we're in this thing together. It's not like I have it all figured out and that's why I'm standing here. You know, the Word of God, God gives me what I need and I stand here and bring it to you and we're growing together and we're doing this thing together. This is how you end up with churches filled with people who act like they're perfect and the whole congregation follows suit, and I don't want that. This creates a culture of spiritual supremacy and keeps people from growing spiritually. I pray that we never get to a place where we feel that we've arrived spiritually. That is my prayer. I pray that we never get to this place where we feel like we got it figured out and that we don't need to be teachable anymore. I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to give us reality checks so that we can come to grips with our need for change. And I can tell you, the reality checks aren't fun all the time. Sometimes a reality check is that God finally knocks on the door of your heart and says, you know that thing you've been doing for the last 20-some years, it's time to stop it. And you'll think, I don't know why now. I mean, I've been doing it 20 years. Well, you know, there's always a time, and when your heart's open to the Holy Spirit knocks and says, now is the time to let that go, and you begin to change. But it happens by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen by people telling you what's wrong with you. And it doesn't happen by you just sitting in this place and opening your ears. It happens because the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. Reality checks cause us to consider who we really want to be. I think some of the most difficult moments in my development and even in your development is this. When you know exactly who you want to be in Christ and then you look and see who you really are, man, when you see the difference between those two things, that breaks your heart, doesn't it? I mean, there's sometimes you look at things and you think, I don't even know how I got here. Does anybody have that experience or is that just me? I don't know how I got here, but we have a choice. We can deal with it or we can let it go. Let's look at what Peter did. Peter got a reality check in Matthew 26, verse 69. Now, in between Peter saying that he would never disown Christ and this passage, we see two character-revealing moments, both in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asked the disciples to stay awake and pray, and here's what happened. Then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And I don't know if this would be the way it would be for you, but can you imagine being with Jesus And he said, I am broken. I am hurting. This sorrow is over me. And you can see something that's maybe a little bit out of character for him. Maybe some pain that he's never been in before. And he says, I just want you to stay awake and stay watch. And what would you do? I mean, this is Peter, right? The guy who said, I would die for you. I would do this for you. I would never leave you. I would never disown you. And now he's only being told just to stay awake for a minute. Okay? Stay awake. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. So you can imagine that maybe he didn't get too far down the trail, and then Jesus falls on his face. And here are the disciples. They've been told, you know, he's feeling sorrowful. He's having these issues. And now he falls on his face. And I mean, you would think that they would say, oh, what is going on with Jesus? Like, maybe we should go attend to him. Maybe at least we should pray. Maybe we should do something. But then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch for just 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see this picture of the people who said, I would never do that, and I have this figured out, and I know what I'm doing. And they can't even stay awake in a moment where Jesus is having one of the roughest times of his life. And so Jesus was arrested. And the passage ends with this statement, and it's a statement that you would almost pass over and not even read, but I want to read it to you. It says, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. This doesn't sound like a group of people who are spiritually mature who are standing by Jesus' side. It says they deserted him and fled. It ends up they're human. You know, it looks to me like they have a little bit of room for character development, don't you? As we all do. So the story goes on. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and he said, Surely you are one of them because your accent gives you away. Maybe he said y'all in Hebrew or something. I don't even know, but they figured it out, right? Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Do you remember when Simeon said that Jesus would reveal the hearts of many? When after Jesus was 8 days old, he was taken to the temple and Simeon spoke those words over his life. Well, today, that day, Peter's heart was revealed, and he saw who he was, and he wasn't consistent with who he wanted to be. And you know what his response was to that? He went outside and he wept bitterly. When's the last time that we saw who we are, and we saw who God wants us to be, and we actually wept bitterly about it? Has anybody done that? Man, that stuff there, that is where growth happens. That is where development happens in life. It's when you will weep bitterly about the things you see in your life. Repentance requires that we are tired of being ungodly. Repentance requires that we're actually sad about it, that we look at the disparity between who we are and who we want to be, and we actually have a problem with it. And we also have to be ready to change. Because it's inside a heart that weeps bitterly that we become the people that we want to be, just like Jesus. And some people think it happens differently than that, and I can tell you it doesn't. Some of my greatest moments of development personally, and I think this is true for you too, happened when I was on my knees bawling my eyes out. When I finally came face to face with who I really was, and then I saw a picture of who Christ wants me to be as I read the Word, it broke me down and I wept bitterly about my life. I don't know if you've had that experience, but that's where growth happens. This is when Jesus restores and reveals what he wants to do in you. He won't address what you do until he addresses who you are and who you want to be. He's not going to get there any other way. And so many people are saying, Lord, just show me what you want me to do with my life. Show me how I'm supposed to serve. Show me what I'm supposed to produce. And God will never answer that question for you until you actually ask him, Lord, who do you want me to be? It's not going to happen any other way. You know, Jesus finally restored Peter. And I want you to listen to what happens in John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Do you hear Jesus dealing with Peter's character issues? Peter realized that he was disloyal and he didn't understand sacrificial love. You know that God wants to perfect these things in us? Christ wanted to perfect this in him. And then finally, Peter got it. When he finally dealt with who he was versus who he wanted to be, he began to mature. We all need maturity in our lives. But when are we going to look at our lives and actually want more spiritually? Let me just make it real for you. When are we going to look at our lives and be tired of being angry? Anyone? When are we going to look at our lives and tired of being offended by everybody around us? Is this getting real for anybody yet? When are we finally going to look at our lives and deal with our lack of submission? When are we going to deal with the abusive lifestyle that we've created? When are we going to deal with the addictions? When are we going to deal with the mediocrity? And when are we going to deal with these personal dreams we put in the place of God? And then let me ask you, when are you going to weep bitterly about it? At some point, we have to grow up, you know? And as a pastor, I watch a lot of immaturity happen in people's lives, and it's part of the growing process, so it's not a problem for me. But at some point, what I want to tell people, I just want to tell them it's time to grow up now. It's time to grow up and take your development seriously. This is not a joke. This life is not you just eking your way through it until you die. This life is about developing yourself and actually becoming all that God called you to be. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how bad things have gotten. It doesn't matter the bad decisions you've made. You can make that decision anytime you want to. And you can say, you know what, I'm serious about my life this year. When are we going to grow up? This year is all about coming to grips with who you are and who you want to be. We're going to be looking at the lives of people in the Bible, and we're going to look at the character changes that happened in them. I could spend a whole year, and I will spend a whole year, on the character of Christ. We're going to look at the lives of people that God worked in and did amazing works in. And you're going to see some of the character traits, and you're going to see God's heart for people and what He wants to see in character. And then at the same time, I'm asking that you open your heart and your mind to see who you really are too. And this is the hard part. I'm not sure that everyone has a stomach for this, to be honest. Because it might cause you to actually weep bitterly, and it might happen right here. And I'm not sure you're okay with that. Not everybody's okay with that. But to be honest, I'm not okay with just having church, you know. I've seen a lot of that over the years, and this is not what this is about here. If you came here to be developed, you came to the right place. If you came here to take on the character of God, then you came to the right place today. But if you came here to do church and you're just doing it and you're just kind of checking in and checking out, then this is probably not the place for you. Because there are going to be some serious things taught over the year, some things that you're going to have to come face to face with what God really wants for your life, and He's going to speak through the Holy Spirit to your heart. He's going to tell you exactly what He has for you, and you have to have a stomach enough to handle it. You have to be tough enough internally to be able to take the fact that maybe you're not all that God made you to be. But you can, because the power of God will change that in your life if you let Him. The Holy Spirit will move if you let Him. And He will change you in this area, but you've got to want it. And I'm not sure where you're at with that. As a pastor, I see a lot of complacency, and I'm not speaking of our congregation. I'm talking about the church universal. There's a lot of complacency in life, and people are just okay with being all right. That's not what we're doing here. We're not okay with being all right. There are probably a lot of all right churches if you want to go hang out there, but this isn't one of them. This is one of the places that if you come in this place and you are ready and the Holy Spirit has prepared your heart to hear, you're going to come face to face with yourself and you're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to deal with the disparity between the two of them. And I pray today that God gives you the internal strength to be able to handle what you see so that you can call upon the Lord to change you. And if that's what you're into this year and you're really ready to change your life, this is going to be good for you. But I pray that you hang in there. Don't lose heart in this whole process, and don't be upset when you cry in church, because it's okay. I cried in church for a really long time because God was breaking me daily every time I came in into the church. He broke me. There's got to be a point in our lives where we finally weep bitterly about where we are in our life and we actually want change. And it's true for everyone in this place. It's true for all of you. There are things in my life right now I do not want in my life anymore. I don't want them anymore. But it's got to get to a point where I weep bitterly over those issues and get on my knees before God and say, God, take them away because I can't take it anymore. I want to be like you. And until I get to the point where I actually want to become like Christ, I will always be in this complacent state, and I'll always be getting by, and I'll always be just all right. And I don't want to be an all right Christian, and I don't want to pastor a bunch of all right Christians. So this year can be life-changing if you want it to be. It's totally up to you. I know today I run the risk of people walking out of here. I know that. I mean, I'm glad you're all still seated. I'm glad you're all still listening. But I know I run the risk of people saying, you know what, I'm not going to get this real. And you have the ability anytime to walk. But I can tell you, if you decide to sit here and go through this and actually walk through this for the year with us, your life will change dramatically and you'll be so glad you did. Amen. But it's up to you. This is a fully volunteer thing. People can walk out anytime they want to. They can show up whenever they want to. You can get as much of Christ or you can get as little of Him as you want. That's just life. But I'm asking you to hang in there, and I'm asking you to let the Holy Spirit do a work in you that's never happened before. This will be the most productive year of your life. And I don't say productive in terms of what you create, but I'm talking about what God creates in you. It's God's production that I'm looking at. Does anybody want that?
Yes.
I'm excited about this vision. I'm excited about the vision because I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the lives of people, that we're not going to see continual immaturity brought into the church, but we're going to see people maturing because they're taking their development seriously. To be honest, I've never seen church like this. I've never heard these messages taught like this. And the thing is, I think we're worried about what people are going to do. I'm not worried what anybody's going to do. You know, you can come or go as you please, but Christ is constant and He will be here for you, and the Holy Spirit will work in you if you let Him. But that's up to you. You know, this would have been really good information for me growing up, because I ended up going through this, but I ended up going through this just as church as normal. I would come and I would listen to sermon after sermon, and God continued to change me, and it was just a really long process, and I didn't really understand what was happening in me. But I think what ended up happening in me is I was just sick of being me. I don't know if you've ever been there. Are you just sick of doing things the way you've always done them? Because, man, when you get sick of that stuff, you change. And I really pray that you get sick of the way you've been doing stuff. And that sounds probably bad coming from the pulpit, but that's my heart's desire for you, is that you really take on what Christ has for you, because you'll be blown away how He'll change your life this year. Everybody want to praise God about that?
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If you would, just stand to your feet and hold your arms out today. We want to receive what God has for us today. This is beginning something serious for you. Just stretch your hands out before the Lord and just receive what He has. Father God, we thank You for what You're pouring into this place today. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit is touching people's hearts right now as we speak. Lord, I pray that you prepare our ears to hear and our hearts to take in and our minds to understand all that you want to do in us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the character you're putting in us. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to be doing over the course of the year. Lord, give us a stomach to see who we are versus who you want us to be. And Lord, give us the obedience to walk it out and to change. Lord, I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you begin to uncover our eyes so that we can come out of our denial and our supremacy and our complacency to see exactly who you want us to be and who we really are so that we can finally get tired of who we've been and take on the identity of you. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you started here today. Lord, we just thank you for all you're doing. I pray your Holy Spirit continues to make this message clear to us, Lord, as we walk this out this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. On your tables, you see that today is Communion Sunday. And if you would, if someone could begin to pour the juice into the cups for your table, I want you to serve your table, please. And also, if you would pass around the bread as well. You know, at the Last Supper, when they did this, I kind of want you to get a picture of how communion works, because part of communion is serving each other. Do you know that? That was the very model that Jesus Christ had for the church, is that we would serve each other. This is a family moment. It's not just a monthly tradition for us. So Jesus sat around the table with his disciples, and he helped them understand what was about to happen for their freedom from sin. And today, as we take communion, that's what today is all about. Today is about your freedom from sin. Today is about the sacrifice that Jesus paid to make that happen. And sometimes we take communion, and we take it as though it's something we do in our church, and people say, "Did you do that today? Did you do that today?" You know, like some churches do it every Sunday, and it's not a frequency issue, it's a heart issue, you know? So today we take communion together because we're remembering exactly what Christ did for us. So today with the bread, we remember how his body was broken to make our freedom from sin possible. We are no longer defined by our sins and failures, we're defined by Christ in us. So eat the bread with the awareness that his broken body made it possible for you. When his body was broken, he bled, and it was an innocent blood that paid the price for our sin. And we can never separate ourselves from that truth, because it's this that made possible for even development. Everything we talked about today is made possible by this. So we never want to separate ourselves from this. So today we drink the juice with the understanding that his blood is the only thing that covers sin. Take and drink. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus into this world to give us freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from being that old person we used to be. Lord, we thank you for the new creation that you've made out of us through his resurrection. Lord, today we thank you for sending your Son into this world. Father, we love you. We never forget your love for us. Lord, we ask your blessing over everyone today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.